Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Perhaps a bit of an overstatement to say it's the dawn of a new age, but a game changer for the SGX after the local bourse announced late last week that they will officially be allowing special purpose acquisition companies, or SPACs, to list on the public markets here, and effectively becoming the first major exchange in the Asia-Pacific region to do so. What will this mean for capital markets here in Singapore? And has there been mounting interest from potential SPAC aspirants with regards to the new changes that will allow them to potentially explore life in the public markets? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're joined by Mr. Tam Tuk Singh, who's the capital markets leader at PwC, to discuss how big of a deal this actually is for Singapore's capital markets and what investors should be looking out for. Tuk Singh, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Monday. And I'm pretty sure it's a busy Monday and week ahead for you.
Yes. Thank you, Judy. Good to be back, yes.
All right. So Tuk Singh, you know, as we mentioned, this is arguably a game changer for the SGX. They're first out of the gate, the first major exchange in the Asia-Pacific region to allow SPACs. But how big of a deal is this potentially for capital markets and deal flow coming to the SGX?
First, I must say this is a good move by SGX. That shows that SGX is being progressive and reinforces its reputation as the multi-asset exchange. We are actually attracting a lot of attention from exchanges in the region. Now, how significant is this on the deal flow? As you know, Singapore, we are a small domestic market, and we depend a lot on international deals into our capital market. If you look at the external, anything external of Singapore, we have China, we have India, we have Indonesia. These are all big populations countries. Mm-hmm. And when the populations are so big, that would have a lot of all these so-called growing startup company located in these countries. And by having SPAC product in Singapore, which is within the Asian time zone, this will be actually a good platform for all these growth companies in this region, especially in these three countries, to use Singapore as a platform for growth. And to do that, do these SPACs here in Singapore, it will be actually very suitable to meet their needs.
You know, the CEO of the SGX said that this framework will actually give companies greater certainty on price and execution. Can you help our listeners understand how exactly a SPAC vehicle accomplishes that?
Sure. Let's talk about price certainty. Let's compare it against the normal traditional IPO. In a normal IPO, when the company wants to go to IPO, the company will probably have certain valuation in mind, and that so depends on the market sentiment, the fundamental at that point of time. And as you know, you do an IPO, it takes about probably a year, 9 months to a year to complete to list. Mm-hmm. And when you about to list, you have to do book building. And at that point, the book building, which is actually in a way will determine the valuations of the IPO then, will depend on the market fundamentals and sentiments at that point of time. So, for example, an IPO starting in January, the market is hot, everything is rosy, and you get a very good price-earning ratio. But when it comes to September, if that so happened that the market condition is bad, there's some investors' interests are warning, or maybe the interest rate has gone up, and the valuation will be different. So there are, for IPO experience, they are at the mercy of the market. But for SPACs, the company to get listed, which is the target company for these SPACs, is a matter of negotiation between the target company and the SPAC sponsor, which means that once you have agreed the price between these two parties, in a way that will be the valuation so-called for that target company, for that these SPACs. So in that sense, you have more certainty. You are not totally dependent on market sentiments or fundamental as at point of listing. Mm-hmm. So that's the certainty part. Now, the executions, again, there's a difference. But I must say is that whether you do a de-spec or you do an IPO, the due diligence process, the compliance process, the documentation process, they are probably fairly similar. We still have that kind of due diligence to protect the investors. The difference is that when you do a de-spec, you are dealing with SPAC sponsor, and in this case, most of them are actually knowledgeable, experienced capital market people. That means they have been exposed to capital market activities. So they will be able to guide the target company in the specs process. Okay. And IPO, you probably very much will be on your own. Of course, you get the help from market professionals, but you are very much on your own during the process.
We're still speaking to Tam Tuk Singh, the capital markets leader at PwC here on Money FM 89.3 to discuss the announcement by the SGX that they will allow SPACs or special purpose acquisition companies to list on the SGX. How eager are capital markets now about these developments? Basically, I want to ask you what you're hearing on the ground. Are there a number of companies that are starting to get interested in listing via SPAC based on what PwC is actually seeing, hearing, or smelling?
Yeah, first I must thank SGX for coming up with this product so soon, being the first mover in the market. Because of that, yes, we actually had quite a bit of inquiries or questions on the Singapore specs in the last few days, actually, in fact, over the weekend, actually. Say I must put it into three buckets of people who made the inquiry. Firstly, they are from my counterpart in the region. When my counterpart asked me these questions, I know that the exchanges in the regions have actually taken notice and they may have inquired through my firm network as to how this Singapore specs works. So because of that, it attracts attention from the exchanges in this region. That's the first thing. Second one is actually the so-called target companies, the companies with business itself, who are actually looking for specs to be the specs. Basically, the companies looking list via the specs. So they are actually companies in the region who are actually currently doing IPO preparation work, or even some who's doing these specs with the US specs. They actually started to ask questions about how the Singapore specs work. And I think that's good, because which means that they may have the intention to switch their IPO plan to these specs in Singapore. I think, fingers crossed, we probably should see some of this coming. Third part on whether there are enough sponsors to do a specs in Singapore. It's still early days. We have not been approached by any of the sponsors to do specs listing. But I would say is that once that they get to familiar with some of these specs framework and regulations, that the deal flows will come from specs IPO.
We might have first mover advantage here in Singapore with regards to SPACs, but do you think that first mover advantage won't last too long based on what you're hearing from your counterparts?
Yes, unfortunately, I have to agree with you, JP. You have the right observation. It won't last too long. Yes, I think it won't last too long because we know there are exchanges in the regions who are looking into it. Some of them actually at the consultation stage. Mm-hmm. And actually, some of them actually engaged professionals to actually look at the regulations in the regions that, you know, that they can put in so that to make their specs product more competitive. So yes, the bottom line is that we won't enjoy this first mover advantage for too long.
The CEO of the SGX also added that the RegCo will focus on ensuring good target companies are added. And this, I guess, alludes to some of the question marks about SPACs. And if there's anything in the framework that can actually make sure that good companies are targeted and that risky companies are not.
Okay. Firstly, framework to me is just a framework. Framework is for guidance and compliance purposes. To ensure specs is successful, to ensure that these specs is good quality companies, is apart from the framework, it's very much depends on the judgment of the IPO professionals and the regulators. So ultimately, judgment by the market professionals and regulators are important. Having said that, some of the things in the framework that may help in ensuring target company of certain qualities would be, firstly, we must make sure that we have good, reputable sponsor. Because SPACs is basically a shell company, a blank check, right? You're giving money to someone that you think you can trust without knowing what the fellow will do with the money. So you must make sure that person is reputable, trustworthy, and have that experience. So I think in that framework, they have actually put in some of the expectation of a quality sponsor. Secondly, is that when you do a de-spec, when this target company comes on board, we have to make sure that the sponsor don't run away after day one. So that you must make sure that the sponsor have a skin in the game and they have to align their interests very much with the shareholders and don't leave the shareholders alone there to face all the unnecessary stuff. So I think in that sense, the framework has actually provided for that in terms of the the voting, the moratorium of the shares of the sponsor, mm-hmm. to make sure that sponsor still hangs around, even though after the de-specs. And I think thirdly, de-specs is very much like an RTO, very much like when it comes to the taxi company being listed already, the role of the independent directors is important. So in that framework, there are certain provisions to state that the independent directors must agree to the target company acquisitions, mm-hmm. which there's some responsibility on the independent actors to make sure that there are quality acquisitions and not just anyhow. So I believe these are some of the provisions in the framework that will help to, in a way, to ensure a quality acquisition. But I must still emphasize at the end of the day, a framework is just a framework. The professional judgment by the market professionals and the regulators are of utmost importance.
As mentioned also by the SGX, the task now is to help educate retail investors to better understand SPACs, the opportunities and the risks behind this new vehicle. In your opinion, Tuck Singh, what are the two biggest things that retail investors should be aware of or educate themselves on regarding the age of SPACs here in Singapore?
Okay, I think the first one, very obvious, as I mentioned before, retail investors, when they look at SPACs, when they want to decide whether they want to put the money in, they have to be comfortable with the SPAC sponsor. They have to do due diligence or some information gathering on the background, the experience and the reputation of the sponsor. I mean, to stretch it a bit further, for example, if you look at the US SPACs in the last 2 years, there are SPACs which are good SPACs. And these are by people who are in the private equity space, in the investment banking space, who knows the pros and cons of M&A. Mm-hmm. And there are SPACs who are actually popular, but not great. And you know that some of these sponsors, they are using the name of celebrities to do the SPACs. And because of the name of celebrities, investors get attracted to it. I feel that these are popular SPACs, but may not be good SPACs because the sponsor may not have the necessary expertise to make sure that the M&A is done with the highest quality. Experience, background, reputation of the SPAC sponsor is of paramount important. That's one that investors should consider. The second one is actually, even though it's blank check, the investors should look at the prospectus. Sometimes in the prospectus, this is based on our US experience, they actually indicate what is their mm-hmm. acquisition objective, be it in certain geographical regions or certain sector of the business. That will also, in a way, give the investors certain expectation whether how the funds will be invested. And whether, if you talk about the South Africa experience, the sector, whether is it aligned with the experience of the sponsor. To me, these are the two very important factors that the investors should be aware of before they put money into SPACs.
Tam Tuck Singh, capital markets leader at PwC, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 88.3 to talk about the dawn of the age of SPACs, or special purpose acquisition vehicles, on local markets and what it might mean for investors in terms of risks and opportunities. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these uncertain times. We look forward to next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, thank you so much for taking some time to enlighten us, sir.
Thank you, JP. Thank you. Nice speaking to you.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.